Lowe's has the Labor Day deals you need to give your home a new look. Buy one, get one free select interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Then, add the final touch with 2 for $8 on select 2.5 or 3-quart mums. Refresh your home and save big while doing it. Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/3. Mums offer in-store only. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for details.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day Sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big during Labor Day at Lowe's. Get up to 40% off select major appliances. Plus, buy more to get up to an additional 20% off. Shop even more savings with 3 Stay Green 1 cubic foot vegetable and flower garden soil bags for $10. This Labor Day, take care of your home for less at Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/3. Soil offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Think your neighbors are bad? Think again. This is the Nightmare Neighbors Podcast.
Okay, so let's be honest. We've all had that one neighbor, you know, the one who just gets under your skin. But today we're going deep on a story that takes the whole Nightmare Neighbor thing to a whole other level. Someone sent in this letter to the Nightmare Neighbors Podcast. And, well, let's just say it's got it all: flooding, passive aggression, a full-on block party showdown.
It's fascinating, really. It starts with this simple plumbing problem and just spirals out of control for years. You know, it's not just about the two people involved either. It affects the whole neighborhood.
So walk us through this. What happened exactly?
Well, it all started with a broken water pipe on the neighbor's property, the Smiths, they're called, and it flooded both their place and the letter writer's house. Right from the get-go, the letter writer felt like the Smiths were blaming them, even though it wasn't their fault at all.
Yeah, I can see how that would set a bad tone. Right away, you're on the defensive.
Absolutely. That feeling of being blamed it makes people want to protect themselves instead of working together. And that just makes the conflict worse.
It's interesting, too, because the Smiths were all about their privacy.
Yeah.
Refused to give their info for the neighborhood directory. But then they install all these security cameras pointed right at the letter writer's place.
Oh, it's a classic example of that privacy paradox we see all the time. People are worried about being watched, but they're also the ones doing the watching. In this case, though, those cameras just add to the tension. You know, the letter writer feels like they're constantly being monitored, judged.
Like they're intentionally poking the bear. And it doesn't stop there. The letter writer talks about all these other incidents. A motion sensor floodlight aimed right at their bedroom.
Yeah.
Trash cans mysteriously appearing at their curb. No. And then there's the son's terrible guitar playing.
See, those things might seem small on their own, but they create this pattern of disrespect. Like, you know, your boundaries are being ignored constantly. It's like that broken window theory.
Hold on, back up. What's the broken window theory?
So the idea is that visible signs of crime, like a broken window, can actually lead to more crime and disorder in a neighborhood. In this case, that broken water pipe incident, it wasn't dealt with properly, so it became like that first broken window. And then all those other smaller things, the trash, the loud music, they become much bigger deals. They add to that sense of growing disregard.
So it's not just about the individual things, it's about the overall message they send, and it sounds like things spiral pretty quickly from there.
Yeah, it's that cumulative effect that wears you down, drains your emotional bandwidth.
Okay, now I'm curious. What exactly is emotional bandwidth?
Think of it like your mental and emotional energy, you know, the stuff you use to deal with stress and challenges. When you're constantly fighting with someone, it's like a battery slowly draining. You have less energy and patience to deal with everything else in your life.
So this whole neighbor drama, it was taking a real toll on the letter writer's well-being, even beyond the specific incidents.
Exactly. And then to make matters worse, there was that note about overwatering.
Oh, yeah. Considering the whole flooding thing in the beginning, that's just dripping with irony, isn't it?
It really highlights how both sides were using these passive-aggressive tactics. Instead of just talking about their problems directly, they're taking these little jabs at each other, which just makes everything worse. They're so focused on getting back at each other that they totally miss any chance to actually fix the problem.
Well, wait a minute. Are we jumping to conclusions here about what the neighbor was thinking? Couldn't that lead to even more misunderstandings?
You know, that's a great point. We're only getting one side of the story here, the letter writer side. It's possible the Smiths had their own reasons for acting the way they did, but no matter what, the lack of clear communication definitely made things worse.
Okay, so we've got escalating incidents, passive-aggressive moves, and all this underlying tension. What happens next?
Well, there's a whole series of these little passive-aggressive moves, like parking just close enough to block the mailbox, thorny rose bushes suddenly appearing.
It's almost funny how creative they're getting with annoying each other.
But it just shows how bad their communication has become. They could have used some basic conflict resolution skills, you know, things like active listening and finding common ground.
Yeah.
Instead, it's like they both decided to double down on their frustration and create this vicious cycle.
Right. So things are clearly heating up.
Mm-hmm.
And then it all comes to a head at a block party, right?
Yeah.
The letter writer finally snaps and confronts the neighbor in front of everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, reading that part, I kind of felt a little bit of satisfaction, like they finally got their comeback.
I get that. It's a natural reaction. But let's sit back for a second and look at it objectively. Did that public confrontation actually solve anything? What were the consequences? This is where understanding conflict resolution strategies can really make a difference.
Wow, you've definitely got me thinking about how I deal with my own neighbors. But before we get into all that, tell me more about what went down at that block party.
So it seems like the Smiths had been blasting polka music late into the night, and the letter writer just finally snapped, called them out right there at the block party for everyone to hear.
Oh man, I can just imagine the tension. It must have been so awkward for everyone there. But honestly, after years of that kind of treatment, I can see how the letter writer just reached a breaking point.
Yeah, they probably felt a sense of relief in the moment. But did it actually change anything? Probably not. Publicly shaming someone rarely leads to positive change. If anything, it just makes them more resentful and destroys any chance of talking things out in the future.
So even though it felt good at the time, it wasn't the best move long term.
Exactly. It really shows how important it is to understand different ways to handle conflict, because let's face it, sometimes just talking calmly doesn't work, especially when you're dealing with someone who's constantly pushing your buttons.
So what could the letter writer have done differently, besides moving to a deserted island?
Well, even before that blow up at the block party, there were other options. Instead of getting caught in that tit for tat game, you know, one bad move after another, they could have tried to break the cycle.
Okay, I'm following you.
Well,
but earlier you mentioned game theory. How does that fit into all of this?
Think of it like each neighbor is playing a game, even if they don't realize it. One move like that floodlight leads to another like the thorny bushes. It just escalates. It's human nature to respond to a threat.
So how do you get out of that game?
You change the rules. Instead of responding with another attack, what if they tried something completely different?
Like what? Baking them cookies. I don't know if I have that level of patience.
Not cookies necessarily, but maybe inviting them over for coffee. Just a chance to talk calmly and directly. Or if that felt too risky, even a simple note, you know, expressing their concerns without blaming or accusing.
So you're saying try empathy, but I'm having trouble seeing that when someone's being so disrespectful. How do you balance being understanding with standing up for yourself?
That's a key point. Empathy doesn't mean you accept bad behavior. It's about trying to understand where the other person's coming from, even if you don't agree with them. It's tough, but it can be the key to de-escalating the situation.
Okay. I'm trying to wrap my head around this. So instead of firing back, maybe they could have said something like, "Hey, I've noticed you've been playing music pretty loud lately. Is everything okay?"
Exactly. You're opening the door for a conversation instead of a fight. You're showing them, you're not attacking them personally, just trying to address a problem that's affecting you.
But what if they got defensive? Because let's be real, that's probably what would happen.
That's where active listening comes in. Really hear what they're saying, acknowledge their feelings, and validate their perspective, even if you disagree. You might say something like, I understand you enjoy listening to music, and I appreciate you sharing your perspective. Maybe we can find a way to make sure everyone's needs are met.
This is really making me rethink how I handle conflicts in my own life. It's like you're giving us the tools to stop a fight before it even starts. But let's be honest, sometimes those efforts fail. So the Smiths, they move away, but not before leaving one last nasty note. Basically saying the letter writer is going to have problems with their next neighbor too. Talk about adding insult to injury.
It just goes to show that even when a bad neighbor's gone, the negativity can stick around. It shows how emotionally draining these situations can be, how they create this feeling of unease and distrust in a whole neighborhood.
Like they passed on the bad neighbor curse.
Yeah.
But maybe we can break the cycle. We can choose to be the kind of neighbor who tries to build relationships instead of walls. So what are some things people can do to prevent these conflicts from happening in the first place?
Honestly, simple kindness and consideration go a long way. Introduce yourself when you move in. Offer to help with yard work or snow shoveling. Invite them over for a barbecue or just a cup of coffee.
Like you're building a foundation for a good relationship.
Uh-huh.
Right. So when those little annoyances inevitably pop up, you're more likely to give each other the benefit of the doubt.
Exactly. It's about building goodwill and mutual respect. Even little things like remembering their dog's name or helping carry groceries. They contribute to a sense of community and make it easier to talk things out when problems arise.
So it's not just about avoiding conflicts. It's about creating a more positive and supportive environment for everyone.
Absolutely. And building those strong relationships takes time and effort. It's a constant process, not a one-time fix.
Okay, so we talked about prevention. But what about setting boundaries? It seems like the letter writer was maybe too passive at first, letting things slide until it all blew up.
That's a great point. It's crucial to set clear boundaries early on. It's much harder to do once things have already gone off the rails.
But how do you do that without sounding like you're picking a fight? I can't exactly put up a no polka music after 10 p.m. sign in their yard.
Of course not. But you can be clear and assertive. For example, if they're always borrowing tools and not returning them, you could say, hey, I'm happy to lend you my tools, but I really need them back by specific date time so I can finish my project.
So it's about being direct, but respectful. Not accusing them,
yeah.
But being firm about your needs.
Exactly. And if they push back or try to make you feel guilty, don't give in. Remember, you have the right to set boundaries to protect yourself and your property.
It's like that broken record technique, right? Calmly repeating your request until they get it.
Precisely. You don't need to justify your boundaries. You can just say, this is what I'm comfortable with, or this is what works for me.
I love that.
Yeah.
So empowering. But what about situations where it's not a one-time thing, but a constant problem, like a neighbor's dog barking all night long?
In those cases, documentation can be really helpful. Keep track of the dates and times it happens. If it keeps happening, even after you've tried talking to them directly, think about contacting your homeowners association or even the police.
Right. And it's helpful to remember you're probably not the only one who's annoyed by it. Other neighbors might be bothered too, but are afraid to speak up.
Exactly. That's where those community connections come in handy. If you have a good relationship with your neighbors, you're more likely to feel comfortable addressing issues that affect everyone. It's like a neighborhood watch, but for annoying behaviors.
Exactly. And sometimes just knowing you have allies makes a big difference in feeling confident enough to deal with those situations.
It's about building a support system. And that's important because, let's be real, sometimes conflicts just happen. So what do you do when things reach that boiling point and you're in a full-blown feud with your neighbor?
Oh, besides hiding in the basement and hoping they move away, what are our options?
Well, hiding out might sound tempting sometimes, but it's not exactly a winning strategy in the long run. So when things have gone way past those initial attempts at communication and you're stuck in a full-blown feud, what then?
Right. It's like, what are you supposed to do at that point?
Well, first things first, take a step back and think about what you really want. What's your end goal? Is it about winning no matter what? Or is it about finding some way to actually coexist peacefully?
Because sometimes winning can feel a lot like losing. Especially if it means living next door to someone who makes your life miserable.
Exactly. It's like that saying, don't wrestle with a pig. You both get dirty and the pig enjoys it. Sometimes the smartest move is to just disengage.
I love that analogy.
Yeah.
So what does disengaging look like in a neighbor situation? Does that mean never talking to them again?
It could, but it doesn't have to be that extreme. Maybe it means being more strategic about how you interact. picking your battles and not letting their negativity get to you.
So basically, you're putting up an emotional fence. You can still be polite when you see them, but you're not wasting energy trying to change them or get their approval.
Exactly. You're putting your own peace of mind first.
That makes a lot of sense. And I guess it's important to remember that not all neighbor conflicts are the same. Sometimes it's just annoying stuff. But what about when it's more serious, like if there's property damage or threats?
Those situations absolutely call for getting the authorities involved. Document everything, file police reports if you need to, and even consider talking to a lawyer. Don't hesitate to protect yourself and your property.
It's a good reminder that we have rights and we don't have to put up with abuse or harassment, and that there are resources out there to help.
Exactly. There are mediation services, community organizations, even online forums where you can connect with people who've gone through similar things. You're not alone.
This deep dive has been so eye-opening. We started with this crazy neighbor story and ended up exploring all these valuable strategies for dealing with conflict in general. But before we wrap up, is there anything else you think our listeners should keep in mind when they're facing their own neighbor challenges?
For me, it all comes back to that idea of emotional bandwidth. These conflicts, they drain us. They take up space in our minds and hearts. So pay attention to your own well-being. If a situation is constantly stressing you out, it's okay to step back, disengage, and choose your peace.
That's such a powerful reminder. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the best way to win is to just walk away from the game.
Absolutely. Choose your battles wisely and remember your well-being comes first.
This has been an amazing deep dive. Yeah. I feel like I've learned so much about conflict resolution, communication, and even just the psychology behind neighbor relationships.
It's been great unpacking this complex topic with you.
As we wrap up this episode of The Deep Dive, I'm left thinking about that comment from the Smiths, you know, when they said, "Good luck with your next neighbor." It's like they were trying to pass on that burden of having difficult neighbors.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that?
It's interesting, right? It shows how interconnected our lives are, how one person's negativity can ripple out and affect others. But I also think it highlights the power we have to choose how we respond. We can choose to break that cycle of negativity and be the kind of neighbor we'd want to have.
That's a great way to put it. It's about creating a more positive and harmonious environment, one interaction at a time.
Exactly. And remember, even small acts of kindness can make a difference. A friendly wave, a shared recipe, or just offering to help can go a long way in building a stronger community.
To our listener who shared this wild story, we hope this deep dive gave you some helpful insights and maybe even a little bit of hope. And to everyone listening out there, may your neighbors be the kind who bring you freshly baked cookies instead of blasting polka music late at night.
Now that's a neighborhood I'd want to live in.
Until next time, dear listeners, keep diving deep, keep learning, and keep those neighborly vibes positive. We'll be back soon with another fascinating deep dive into the human experience.
Want more Nightmare Neighbors stories? Then press subscribe now wherever you're listening to this podcast. We'll give at least one brand new Nightmare Neighbor story every single day. Plus, you can always explore the archive as well. This is the Nightmare Neighbors podcast. Press subscribe now.